This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, everyone. Do you wish you were somewhere sunny, but are dealing with another crazy spring? There's a solution to get that feeling. I'm grabbing a Hawaiian Breeze 5-Hour Energy and escaping there in my mind. Sports fans, ever stay up late for the game and drag the next day? A 5-Hour Energy shot will fix that no problem. 5-Hour Energy's website has tons of flavors, over 15 to choose from. Watermelon, Tropical Burst, Blue Raspberry, and even hard-to-find ones like Strawberry Lemonade and Extra Strength Fan Fuel. There's a flavor for everyone. You can even build your own 12 or 24-pack and have it delivered. Or grab a shot at your local store. They're everywhere. And it's basketball season. My schedule is packed, and I don't want to miss a second, so I grab a 5-Hour Energy shot. They're perfect for back-to-back games or when my team plays late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going through the game and the next morning. Visit 5hourenergy.com for deals and to stock up before tip-off.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Adetuma.
Talk to my mom about this. She loves this song. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Final hour for us on the week. John Lopez, Reggie Adetuma, Figgy Fig on a fun Friday. Free fun Friday. It's funky as well. Thanks for getting involved with the program on the Truck Wreck Doc, or sorry, the Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line.
The what?
Texas Hammer.
Don't worry about that. Yeah. Shout out to Jim. 713.
Jim's gonna come through with that sludge hammer.
Yeah, I gotta get that right.
Hit that window.
Yeah, my bad, dog. right now we got college basketball going. Of course, it's day two of the first round, and Baylor handling their business right now. I mean, they're not out of the woods by any means.
Yeah.
But they have an 8-point lead with 7.5 minutes left in the second half. That's been kind of an up and down Mississippi State game with Baylor. So we'll see what that looks like. But Alabama has been playing it pretty close with Robert Morris. They were down to only a 2-point lead just a mere minutes ago. They've opened it up a little bit to a 7-point lead now. So Alabama's trying to make sure that they clear the 15 seed Robert Morris. Yeah. I don't know what they're Rams. I'm just gonna say that they're the Rams. I'm just gonna lie right now.
What is Robert Morris?
Oh, that's a good question. We should be asking ourselves.
That's always a good game during March Madness. Where is this school?
Yeah, let's play that game real quick before we talk about the Astros, because I saw a lot of content around about Creighton, because Creighton is probably the one that everybody goes to. Is do you know where Creighton is, Figgy? You know where Creighton is?
Nope.
Oklahoma.
Nope.
Where?
It got to be on the East Coast.
No, it doesn't.
Oh, really?
Omaha, Nebraska is where Creighton
is. I knew it was up here.
Creighton sounded like an East Coast
school. I thought it was Oklahoma. It was Nebraska. That's right.
And then Robert Morris, I don't got a good question.
The Colonials.
Yeah, Colonials. That's easily East Coast. And I'm going to guess that they are in, this is tough because this feels like a Virginia school, but I feel like I would have known if it was Virginia.
I'm gonna say Philly. I'm gonna say Philly.
Y'all would never y'all are never gonna get this.
The Colonials. Is this an Ohio school for summer? No, you would know if it was an Ohio school. I'm gonna say it's in
Rhode Island.
That's interesting. Vermont.
Pittsburgh.
Pennsylvania.
A suburb of Pittsburgh.
Oh. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Today I learned. Shout out to Kix Rocks, who knew that, or maybe Googled quickly. I don't know.
It's damn near close to Ohio.
Mm-hmm. Robert Morris, huh? The Colonials.
It sounds East Coasty.
100%. Yeah. 100%. Robert Morris. Okay, very good. The Astros, their season starts in less than a week. Excited to see In fact, I think they're playing right at this moment.
Yeah, they...
Unfortunately, I don't have enough TVs to keep up with all the...
No, all I know is Chaz McCormick went yard.
Hey!
And,
White boy Chaz is back, baby.
And Fromberg gave up a 408-foot shot at 105 miles an hour.
You didn't have to give me... I don't need
I should
the
have
entire,
reversed those two.
Yeah, I also didn't need
that's
the entirety
your opening
of the
day starter, damn it.
I didn't need the entirety of the truth there. You could have just not...
And you got to pay him.
Yeah.
What are you doing right now? I thought we were supposed to be trying to help each other in this moment. But yeah, the Astros up 4-1 in that game. But I think obviously what's more important is the idea that, hey, man, Fromber out here. But look, yeah, you're not going to just like pitch a no-hitter every time.
So no, I'm not every time.
Yeah, I'm just going to.
Every other.
But good to see Chaz, man. 1-for-1 with the homer. 3 RBI, by the way. So
yeah.
That'll bring his batting average up to a robust 172.
Ooh, ouch.
But the OPS is a 739, though.
There we go.
That is downright passable. I don't know. I'm interested to see where you're going here, Lopez, because we have all been talking about the Cam Smith, which, again, we're seeing even some of the people that have been a little bit of detractors talk about Cam Smith like, yo, this could really happen. I mean, I think Joe Espada a day or two ago was talking about that he is forcing there, like he's making the decision hard on them, which is great, right? Like that is exactly what you want him to do with his talent, his capabilities, and with this consistency that he's been able to bring in spring.
Hell, Dana Brown said yesterday, you know, something along the lines of, I'm not afraid to put this guy in the big leagues.
Yeah, that is
all
true.
Right. All right.
Hey, man, don't be afraid.
Yeah.
In fact, I'm going to keep saying it. You scared?
Yeah.
Do it.
Mm-hmm.
Bet you won't, though. Bet you won't do it. Let's see if he does it. Let's see if he can succumb.
Is it
going to
work
pressure.
On Dana?
Can it? Can we peer pressure the general manager of an MLB franchise?
Hey, man, you ain't about to do that.
You're not going to do
you ain't
that.
Got the balls.
Yeah, you ain't going to do that.
I don't believe it until I see it, Dana. I need to see it. All right, but that's a competition we've talked about, which honestly I think is a little more interesting when you consider people that are like starting to get out on the left field, on Altuve in left field.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any possibility of a Zach DiZenzo being up with how hot he's been in spring with Cam?
Right.
Those are your corner outfielders that can play defense as well.
Mm-hmm.
But is that the competition? Because we've talked a lot about that competition. What competition in spring have we just kind of neglected?
Yeah, Lopez? I think we have. Cam Smith, I mean, to me, he's going to be on the opening day roster. I don't think it's as tough a decision as it was a week ago, 2 weeks ago, whatever. Are you looking at what's happening in the bullpen right now?
I haven't been.
So yesterday, this is what kind of got me thinking like this. Yesterday was a bullpen game. And they all pitched well.
Yeah, Logan Van Wy started it off, and I was like, oh, okay, cool. This is great.
Yeah, they all pitched well. I don't know how many earned runs they even gave up, but it wasn't a lot.
I got to do work.
So it got me thinking about, I mean, this is one of the most, I mean, they went into spring training talking about, you know, the bullpen and how important it was going to be. There's going to be some surprises here. There's going to absolutely, we know Hader, you know, we know Abreu. I mean, first of all, Logan Van Wy, I think he got a ball off the foot or something. So He did.
But this morning there was a little bit of an update as to that. I think he was working today in some capacity. I'll circle back and make sure that I see exactly what that capacity was.
Yeah.
But it seemed like the report largely came out to the idea of
maybe he'll miss a little time, maybe not serious.
That it's. I mean, yeah. I don't even know if it's quite that. It seemed like it was a fairly. Fairly okay, but again, I want to make sure that I double back and actually find the reporting. So I'm telling you the 100%.
But he's pitched really well. And then Stephen Okert is the lefty, and he's pitched well.
And you need lefties. You have a lot of righties in that pen, so the lefties are going to be important. Circling back, Chandler Rome, who covers the Astros for the Athletic, said that Hayden Wesneski took a batted ball off his left foot yesterday during his start. He will get X-rays, but he's currently participating in the team's workout and looks. Okay, and he kept pitching yesterday as well. So it seems like this is largely just operating with caution, and he's probably fine. But, of course, you know, go ahead and knock on wood if you want to, just because we know Astros and injury-type things.
Yeah.
Even when it looks fine, sometimes it cannot be.
No kidding. Yeah, there's been some Luis Garcia news on that as well, but that's a potential starter.
Yeah,
doesn't look good. So then, Forrest Whitley. You know, he's been injured, and there's reports that he might start on the IL to begin the year. So it led to a name that I was like, oh, yeah, that guy does play here. And that's Luis Contreras. The interesting thing about Luis Contreras is he's not only pitching well, but he has options. And that's important. Why? That's important because they can maybe start him on the big league roster, and then you start getting some of these guys back, which is why we're talking about the injuries and such, that he can be sent down. Guys like, I think Van Wey is out of options, isn't he?
I'll have to double check. Yeah. I did want to tell you this, though. Mm-hmm. 10 strikeouts for Contreras in 7 2/3 innings.
Mm-hmm.
So not bad. Not bad for the dude. Obviously, I mean, no ERA when it comes to the seven. So he hasn't given up anything there. But I think the really big thing is he's getting dudes out in a good way.
I mean, the Astros bullpen right now, there are some seriously tough. The toughest decision that Dana Brown has to make is not Cam Smith. I'll put it that way. It's what the bullpen makeup is going to be.
Yeah, but I think it's a good decision because it seems like dudes are performing.
Yeah.
It's better than where it would. I think the possibilities are when you're talking about bullpen decisions.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's also nice because if people are performing well now, even if they kind of fall off, bullpen is one of those places where even though you don't have a ton of assets to utilize as bartering chips in at the trade deadline, that's one of the places where it's easiest to try and add. But I mean, even someone like, what was it, Jalen Beeks, mm-hmm. that they brought in, the left-hander, I like him as a possible guy in the pen as well. And that's a dude who's a vet also. So yeah, man, I love what's happening with the pen. I think one of the reasons we haven't talked about it is one, you haven't been able to watch as much of these games, which when it comes to pitching, I think matters, right? When you're making evaluations in spring. But on top of it, it's just like it feels like a whole bunch of dudes that you're gonna get a feel for when they actually get out here pitching in real games.
No, I think not only is it that important with the bullpen, they are deep, at least in spring training, as you just mentioned, but they also have to consider, you know, the financial implications here in terms of some of these players that you're bringing up and taking back, and are they going to be opened up to another team? That's the last thing you want.
I'm going to check this. I'm trying to see options for Logan Van Wy, who I think that you probably have him on the roster regardless just because how good he has been. And they've talked glowingly, and it feels like, not to say that this organization doesn't talk glowingly about their players, but when they do, it's noticeable. Mm-hmm. And Logan Van Wy has been one of those guys that they've talked about in such a way that makes you think that, oh man, like this is one of those dudes that you absolutely want on this team. He was actually a non-roster invitee.
That's right. That's right.
Is what's happening there. So it'll be interesting to see how this comes together. But yeah, man, that's fair, man. It's fair to look at this and go, you know, how does this pen come together? Luis Contreras, who is, you're right, he does still have three options. I think that's an interesting place to be. If you're looking at the projections the Fangraphs has together, their pen goes as follows. Obviously, you know, Hader and Abreu are going to be in there. They have Taylor Scott and Brian King.
We didn't even mention Taylor Scott.
In there. Yeah. And then the other ones that they have, Steven Okert, Logan Van Wy, Jalen Beeks, like I mentioned, to have another lefty in there with Okert, and then Luis Contreras. So that's the pen that they have there. But it's nice to have the depth that you do, seeing if, you know, well, that the only tough thing about that is like Forrest Whitley being on the outside looking in there. What does that do with Caleb Ort? Maybe those guys end up on, you know, IL situation type things there. But then, you know, like, does your starting pitching getting healthy then help push some things down as well and change the dynamic of the pen further? So, yeah, we'll see how that goes. But I think this is a place where I think you can be healthy and reasonably optimistic with what you're seeing.
And what do you do with, you know, you're watching Lance McCullers, Forrest Whitley, all of a sudden feels eerily similar to, oh no, you know, and it might not even be, it probably isn't, in fact, reportedly, anything serious, but you've got those two guys to deal with as well.
Yeah, so I think that's a good spot. I do want to circle back around to what I posited earlier in the spaces of the two most flashy conversations, because I think you're right, that we have not talked enough in the Royal We about the bullpen. The place that we have is the outfield, and because it's a big old glaring situation for you with the back-to-back ugly errors that Jose Altuve had. The thought of the possibility of having two your corner outfielders just being the young guys, what do you make of that? The idea of maybe having DeZenzo and Cam Smith playing the corner spots. Like, what do you make of that? But in understanding that would probably put, again, Altuve back at second base with all of the concerns that you had that moved him, that had this organization get creative and try and move him to left.
Well, they're saying he's going to play over 100 games.
No, sure.
Yeah,
but I kind of want to have the thought experiment at the very least.
I understand. And what I'm saying is, the reason I said that is, like, they would have to walk that back. And, you know, this whole idea of, you know, don't bet against Jose Altuve, you know, all these odds against him. And
I'm still
that.
Not betting against him. I want that to be clear.
Exactly. I understand that sentiment. But that's Jose Altuve beating the odds to become a superstar, even just to get in the major leagues, you know, being clutch in the postseason at the plate, you know, some of the great things that he's done. This is a whole different world. This is a whole different world out there. They, you know, and for them to say they're, you know, confident that he's, we talked about it yesterday during buy and sell, you know, we're confident that he's going to be the answer out in left field, however they put it. They're fooling themselves, and I don't believe them. They have to be considering if it gets worse before it gets better, putting him back at second base. Then you get in the situation that you just talked about. You know, young guy in left field, young guy in right field. Two of the hottest bats in the spring. I don't know what that means, but, you know, that's – would you take that over Altuve in left?
I mean, I think that in order to – I really want to see those guys mm-hmm. get opportunities. I am – I don't want to say terrified because that's too strong and that'd be almost like that's hyperbolic. But I am kind of scared about like what further decline at second base defensively looks for Jose Altuve. Mm-hmm. Like that's the thing is we've also been talking about how bad has it been for Jose at second base. That does not stop declining, right? Like I think that what does further decline look like there as opposed to, you know, it looks bad for Jose in left field, but there is still reason to believe that there can be it can get better than what it looks like at this moment, right? What does that bar actually look like? I can't fully tell you, but we know what it started to look like at second base.
Yeah.
I don't think that it continues to get there. I don't think there's anything that points to the possibility of getting better there at second, if that makes sense.
I think the Astros are telling us that, you know, the fact that like this whole, you know, well, I'll move to left field if Bregman wants to come back. That was never the case.
No, it was not. We've learned that over time.
The Astros made the decision for a reason. They didn't think that he was going to be able to get the job done at second base consistently for another year. So they have to still believe that.
They have to still believe that. It does stink because you have a good problem here, but it's still a problem is that you have these young guys mashing in now. It's hard to find a spot for him in the immediate, unless you were willing to do something drastic.
Yeah.
We're getting close to the time where the Astros are going to have to make those decisions to see just how creative are they willing to be with all this. All right. On the text line from the 713, can we talk more Leave It to Beaver instead of Astros spring training games? I turn it to our Leave It to Beaver correspondent.
What you want to talk about?
Do you have any Leave It to Beaver? Because I want to know, actually, I'm going to turn this into an interview. How much Leave It to Beaver? Like, how often are you watching Leave It to Beaver? What are the circumstances under which? Because I'm still flabbergasted in some ways. And maybe I shouldn't be. We all have things that we watch that maybe someone on the outside would not anticipate. But you were like, I really like. It's not like I was just happened to be watching.
No, you didn't stumble across it.
You do this. This is something that you do on a regular.
I used to watch it a lot with my dad on MeTV back when we had no cable and nothing like that. And now, as y'all know, I got my new TV, and it's a Roku TV, and it got a Leave It to Beaver channel that plays Leave It to Beaver.
They have a Leave It to Beaver channel?
They have a Leave It to Beaver channel. So every time I turn the TV, yeah, I always tap in on it and find myself sitting there watching it for a couple hours.
Of those old shows, like black and white shows, I think the only one that I watch fairly regularly, if it's on, I'll tune in, is the Dick Van Dyke Show.
That's a good show.
That's funny.
I don't think I got any of those in my bag.
The comedy translates to today's era. Like some of the Leave It to Beaver stuff is like so corny. You have to watch it because it's corny.
Yeah. No, the one that don't really age well with time, and I actually got this clip.
Okay.
This is a Leave It to Beaver clip that a lot of people try to cancel a little bit. This is the dad, Ward Cleaver, talking about a woman's place in the kitchen.
Oh, no.
What's funny? Well, whenever we cook inside, Mom always does the cooking. But whenever we cook outside, you always do it. How come?
Well, it's sort of traditional, I guess. You know, they say a woman's place is in the home, and I suppose as long as she's in the home, she might as well be in the kitchen.
That's right. As long as you're in the house, you better be in the kitchen.
You might as well be in the kitchen.
All right, so that played on our airwaves today.
Woo. Leave It to Beaver.
I mean, if you're going to be in the house, get in the kitchen.
So you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610 for the time being, at least.
I mean, if you're going to be barefoot. No.
All right. Okay. All right, coming
Dick
up
Van
next.
Dick Van Dyke, though. Really funny.
Somebody said Andy Griffith Show, hands down. I feel like the only old show that I will immediately like, all right, I am watching this right now, is Matlock.
But that's still not
too old. That's not that far.
I can't watch no
Matlock. You not in on Matlock?
Nah, man.
Okay, but
I felt like I'm at my grandmother's house, man, watching Matlock.
You were talking about Leaving to Beaver.
Mm-hmm. It was funny. What's funny about Matlock?
Unbelievable.
I'll tell you what. Right. My mom, my dear departed mom, she watched Bonanza every day.
My father watched Bonanza.
Every day.
Bonanza, Gunsmoke.
Yep.
I think it's Big Valley.
Mm-hmm.
He watched all them Western shows.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. Shout out to all the fine folks watching the older television shows out there. All right. About the time where we hand it over to Figgy Fig for Figgy's mixtape. Figgy, what do you have? And hopefully it's no more antiquated gender roles.
We got more Leave It to Beaver. Just playing. So in the mixtape, my comments on Twitter apparently got people all riled up. And they put my tweet on that Summer Jam screen.
Oh, no.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I'm going to explain that in a second. And plus, the number one seed in the BBL bracket might be CJ Stroud.
We just
talked about this yesterday.
Okay, all right. Let's follow up on the BBL bracket next.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.
Pass the aux cord and crank up the volume. Figgy Fig's in the driver's seat. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride. It's time for Figgy's Mixtape on Sports Radio 610.
Yep, it's the Mixtape in the Loop, Sports Radio 610. It's your man Figgy Fig holding it down on a Friday. Happy Friday to everyone out there. So, got a lot of March Madness going on. Try to get you some of that coverage in a little bit. But, man, my tweet was on that Summer Jam screen, man. Somebody tried to put me out there, man.
What happened?
So this was kind of a long story, so bear with me for a second. So I don't know if you guys been following this, but the Breakfast Club and kind of the TV show, mm-hmm. not the TV show, but the podcast
or whatever.
The morning show. Yeah. The morning show, the Breakfast Club. They kind of been going through a little issues with their new co-host.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a co-host by the name of Jess Hilarious. And she's the one that replaced Angela Yee.
Mm-hmm.
And
just hilarious. She was like an internet comedian type thing, right?
Yep. She was. She kind of blew up on the internet, you know, being a comedian and start. I think she might have gotten a couple movies or something. But mm-hmm. yeah, she was the internet star. And so she's the new co-host. She got a little bit of drama with their producer because. Just hilarious. Once she got the job, she ended up pregnant and took a paternity leave.
Maternity mm-hmm. leave, yes, sir.
Yep. So the producer by the name of Lauren, what's her name? Lauren
LaRosa.
LaRosa.
Yeah.
She filled in for, and she was doing a really good job to the point people start having a conversation like, hey, this need to be the real co-host right
okay.
here.
Okay.
And it led to a lot of drama and all that stuff behind the scenes. I ain't gonna get into all mm-hmm. of that, but somebody tweeted, it's a girl by the name of OneFine_Redbone.
Okay, okay, very good.
So hey, salute to her, man.
Good for her.
Hey, salute to her. Mm. So she tweeted this. Just Hilarious and the Breakfast Club drama is a prime example of social media celebrities actually being in a talent-based environment that they don't actually have the skills and experience for, but mm-hmm. got the job because of social media presence.
Mm-hmm.
So I seen that tweet. I'm like, okay.
And you had an opinion.
I didn't quote tweet it. Mm-hmm. I just tweeted at her. So this is my response. As a radio producer myself, I'm mm-hmm. actually rooting for Lauren.
Mm-hmm.
Just her grind in the industry is so dope. You can tell she always wanted to do this and got the skills to do it. I wish people stopped thinking you could put a celebrity in that place and think it will work.
Okay, mm-hmm. there's nothing wrong with that.
So I started getting a lot of love on that tweet. Mm-hmm. I got like 1,000 likes on it. And I tweeted up some other stuff too. I won't get into that, but... out of nowhere, salute to G-Mac on IG.
Uh-oh. Okay,
he's a listener. He's a he listens to In the Loop a lot, and he tagged me in a Instagram post. So I'm like, wait a minute, what is this?
So he set you up?
No, he just tagged me. He tagged me to show me something.
I thought you said like he posted it and tagged. Okay,
He tagged me in this post to mm-hmm. show me what this account posted. So. It's an account on Instagram called Being Black Is Lit.
Okay.
Yeah, so they got like 1 million followers.
Mm-hmm.
They posted the conversation. They posted my tweets.
Oh, boy.
They posted me and the girl, 15 Redbone tweets, and said, so y'all agree with this take? So I was kind of going through the comments a little bit, man. People was just like, oh, I disagree with that. Oh no, what is he talking about? I'm like, oh man, I ain't mean for it to go this. Yeah, I just you know, I like having those type of, you know, conversations.
Yeah,
I didn't know it was gonna go that far.
Yeah.
So they put my tweet, my pretty little face on that Summer Jam screen. I'm like, damn.
They said, we're not gonna jump you, come outside.
Yeah.
So where does it stand now?
The
whole debacle.
I think they working through it.
Okay.
I think they working through it. I'm kinda interested to see because the producer is a very talented young lady.
Mm-hmm.
And I think her history is like working at TMZ as a producer and stuff like that. So she really polished. And they got somebody that's a social media star
mm-hmm.
that's not as polished. She's pretty good too, but she you could tell she never worked in the industry, in radio or anything like that. So
there's probably like some growing pains, you know.
Yeah, so I think
maybe some things that you would expect of a normal person put in that position. However,
They're trying to figure it out because they don't want to put the girl Lauren, who's the producer, back to the bench. So they're trying to keep her on the show because mm-hmm. a lot of people like her on the show. So it's a lot going on.
Yeah.
But
maybe she's had a couple of errors, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Maybe a little ugly, kind of tough stomach.
But in your opinion, she deserves to be on the air.
Yeah, 100. I would definitely keep her on the air. I wouldn't kick anybody off, mm-hmm. but I would find a spot for her for sure.
Yeah.
So the number one seed in the BBL bracket.
We were just talking about this.
She was on Shannon Sharp's podcast
of course
or show,
she was.
Club Shay Shay.
Yeah.
And he kind of asked. She was talking about football, how she won a baller and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And this is how this conversation ended up going with Shannon Sharp trying to hook her up with a quarterback, and the name CJ Stroud popped up.
I like when the ball is in your court. I like the ones that gotta, like, you know.
They gotta catch the ball and do something, get the ball.
Yeah.
Okay. And so you like wide receivers, running backs?
Yeah, maybe a quarterback too.
Quarterback, you like the quarterback?
Ooh, the quarterback. I ain't never had no quarterback. I'm just saying, You know, they the MVP, you know. So what you hook me up with? If you had to like put me on a blind date or if you can like.
Ooh, wee.
Who you gonna give me?
I don't know if CJ Stroud. You know CJ Stroud? Quarterback for the Texans?
No.
Why would you go CJ?
Damn, you just asked me to hook you up. I'm trying to hook you up. Now you say, why go him?
That man is a Christian.
You might can change it.
She said, why are you going to say him? That man is a Christian.
Exactly. So I need to know about this young lady.
Young Miami?
Yeah.
What would you like to know about
Young Miami? Is she take home to mama girl?
I would not say so. She is a rapper in what used to be a group called the City Girls.
City Girls.
Yeah. Can you explain the concept of City Girls?
Yeah, they rap about scamming and all this other stuff.
Yeah, so that, no. That would be a hard no.
And the other reason, she was just dating P. Diddy.
Okay, well, that's pretty she much all I need with to know P. Diddy. Right there.
Yeah.
Yes.
Miss Carisha herself.
Yeah.
I feel like that's I know that sometimes when you break up someone, you want to kind of go a different way. We see it in sports a lot.
Yeah.
When you fire the offensive head coach, maybe you go get a defensive head coach, or your player's coach, you get a stern coach. I feel like that's too big of a swing, dog.
I mean, you see Ciara go from Future to Russell Wilson.
Oh, well, it has worked there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That is true. Maybe Ciara's like, girl, you need to go get you a good man. Yeah, and CJ Stroud is that good? Yeah,
I am worried for CJ Stroud though, because I felt like she tried to play him like, no, I can't. That boy a Christian.
No,
I feel like CJ Stroud would get a little offended over that. Like,
but you know what? I'll show you. I'll date
you. I'm a killer. Like, nah. You're sitting on the couch with a killer.
I'll date
you. CJ, you're not gonna get him with that pump fake. You're not gonna get him with that pump fake.
He gave Amber Rose a ride home.
Well, that's because he's a Christian, right?
Yeah, like, he did the right thing.
He's doing unto her as he would do unto Jesus, his Lord and Savior. That is the Christian mantra.
I feel like CJ ain't gonna let nobody play him.
Yeah.
Well, like, oh, I'm a Christian. What? That don't mean nothing. What you mean, girl?
I saw that as a sign of respect. She's like, look, I know what time I am on, and I know that I might be pulling that man outside of where his comfort zone is. I'm not trying to do all that.
Hey, wait till he get that contract. She gonna be Jesus all around me every day.
She gonna become First Lady Carisha. Is that what's gonna be
First Lady Carisha?
Well, we met at church. Yeah.
Oh, when you change the backstory?
Yeah,
that's crazy.
You know what? Church ain't too bad.
That's right.
And I appreciate the people that got what I was putting down from the 713. Can she play left field? somebody said, and Stephon. I don't know exactly what you're talking about, but maybe that was the name that, because she did say she liked people that had the ball in their hands, and Stephon, he does.
Mm-hmm.
I guess he might be otherwise occupied at this point, right?
This is true.
Yeah.
This is true.
Quick game for you fellas. True or false?
Okay.
False.
Bronny James has passed Ben Simmons for career three-pointers made.
Oh, I actually. I
yeah, that is a true.
That is true.
That is true, fellas.
What is it? 6-5, right?
Yep.
I want to say 7-5.
Is that what it was? Either way, yes.
Bronny got 7 career made three-pointers. Ben Simmons half 5.
You are a laughingstock when people go out of their way to find these type of stats and put them up here.
And how many years has he played?
Many. Well, that's a trick question.
Well, played.
Yeah, how many has he played, or how many has he been in the NBA? Because those are not the same thing.
Yeah.
All right, I want to bring this up real quick. Tell me if this is a crazy connection.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a guy by the name of Big U, mm-hmm. whose real name is Eugene Henley,
mm-hmm.
And he was part of the Rolling 60s gang in L.A.
Oh, okay.
And now he's a, I think he was actually like a activist or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So reportedly changed his life. But
he went to church?
Not really.
He a Christian?
Cleaned up a little bit.
Not really, because what I'm about to read right now, I'm about to dismiss all of that.
Oh, no.
He just turned himself in to the police. Reportedly, some rappers and Rolling 60 members were arrested. I guess it was like a big gang bust or whatever. Here's Big U right before he turned himself in. I just want to play this, and I'm going somewhere with this.
This is my last video before I turn myself in. I'm with my family. I talk to my sons, I talk to everybody, man. I'm just saying, I'm gonna deal with this fight, see what it is. I just want y'all to know, all this stuff is quagmire. It's all bullcrap. I just need y'all prayers. I need y'all to, I don't even know what to say.
So he did that video right before he turned himself in.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where the crazy connection lands right here. So, are you guys familiar with a guy by the name of Dayon Henley?
I don't think so.
He actually played at NRG for the playoff game against the Chargers. He's a linebacker for the Chargers.
Yes. Okay. Yes, I am. Okay, yeah.
So, he finished with 6 tackles and all that stuff. Big U, Big U is his dad.
His dad?
Oh, wow.
That's his dad.
Man.
Now, the connection might get even crazier right here. So,
He sure did go to Crenshaw.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, here's the crazy part, too. Here's Zeus Tiny Lester. Remember him?
Yes.
Known as Z-Bo.
Uh-huh.
Here's Debo talking about who inspired the character Debo.
Okay. People want to see that character. He's, I told you, I pulled that from Big U. Oh, I used him as my background of what how I wanted this character to be perceived. Because the whole thing about how bad this guy was is when Ice Cube pulled the gun on him. He said, what you gonna do with that? Besides, make me mad. That was cold-blooded. That was it for me.
So Big U is actually Debo.
Oh, man.
He's the real life Debo.
Well, that's not exactly encouraging for his legal defense.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So
I thought that was a crazy, that was kind of a crazy connection, right?
Yeah.
There.
And his son played linebacker for the Chargers.
Okay. This is where you say small world.
It is. Yeah. It is indeed a small world. And I'm very glad that at no point did I deem it necessary.
Were you a part of that world?
Well, no. Well, yes, one. But then two, I'm glad that at no point in you describing that story did I deem it necessary to crack a joke, because I'd have felt bad about cracking jokes about real life Debo.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That was real life Debo. Mm-hmm. So that's where Zeus got the inspiration for. That's where Tiny got the inspiration
from. Rest in peace, Tiny, by the way.
Damn. Yes. Thought that was crazy.
That is.
Okay. All right. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. It's worth noting, day two of the tournament, at least we're getting
a little more excitement. A
little bit. We got a close finish between Baylor and Mississippi State. Baylor with a 3-point victory over Mississippi State. Mississippi State had an opportunity to tie.
Yes, they did.
With a contested 3-pointer.
Did he get fouled? I couldn't really see.
No, he didn't.
Just missed it, airball?
Just barely, maybe barely clipped rim on the side, but no, missed the shot, which is kind of fitting considering the way that the shooting had gone all game long. But no, Baylor moves on. Congratulations to them. Alabama in a little bit of a fight themselves against Robert Morris. Mm-hmm. So the first couple of games already giving us a level of good competition here. All right. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, we get ready to hand it off to the fellas of the drive. Today it'll be Ron and Luke Morrow. But before we do that, let's draft the weekend. We'll do that next.
Thank you, Figgy.
Sports Radio 610, Houston Texans breaking news.
Yeah, so don't worry about drafting the weekend. The Texans had other thoughts. Thanks, Nick Casario. All right, this news is breaking right when we were going to break. I will read it per Ian Rappaport, but other folks had it as well. The Texans are signing free agent offensive tackle Trent Brown to a one-year, up to $3 million deal as negotiated by his agent, Drew Rosenhaus. I found this part of the tweet interesting. More O-line help. Word. Trent Brown.
He's coming out of retirement?
No, he's not. He wasn't retired. He played last year, and I used played somewhat lightly for the Cincinnati Bengals. Three games there. And what was he's 31, but this will be his age 32 season coming up. But yes, if you, again, just to say it one more time, the Texans are signing free agent offensive tackle Trent Brown. I know you're thinking, well, didn't they just sign Cam Robinson, who is a free agent tackle? They did.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the way that I immediately read this, my immediate takeaway, because I know you have a different one, but my immediate takeaway was, oh, okay, so Tyus Howard's playing guard this year then. That's the way that I read it, because Nick Casario has said in the past he likes to roster three or four tackles. And yeah, I mean, mm-hmm. you could probably look at this as, okay, this is the fourth tackle that you have between Cam Robinson, who we know will play left, Blake Fisher, who, I mean, could play right, left. I mean, he played right this past season.
Mm-hmm.
Tytus Howard, who obviously started this season playing right. And then now Trent Brown. But Trent Brown, I mean, I think also what's there is that we've been asking, maybe does Tytus Howard play guard? And if Tytus Howard was then playing guard, you did not have another tackle. And I don't know that there was a place for you to get a depth tackle besides like maybe drafting one later or what have you. This felt like the place of getting yourself a depth tackle in Trent Brown that can be a backup. And you still have, and I mean, you still look at it. And as of right now, and of course, you still have the draft coming and possibility of things happening still mm-hmm. arises just like it's happening right now. But Tytus Howard is one of your best five offensive linemen. And so getting him on the field with the other guys feels like you play mm-hmm. him at guard.
Yeah, I mean, maybe. I think that's solid. I really do. I'm just confused. I'm just confused.
What you confused about?
I seriously thought he was retired. He's another New England guy. Clearly, Nick Casario is putting his hands all over this offense. Like, all he's influencing some of these offensive...
We're not going to really get into a lot of hypotheticals, a lot of speculation, right?
Speak for yourself there, Nick, because I don't necessarily say, oh, this is awful. This is another older, former New England guy that may or may not play, much less may or may not be good.
Competition.
He's played five games in 2020, nine games in 21, 17 in 2022. He had eight starts last year in 2023 with New England, and then three last year. He's the guy that went from New England to Oakland. And what'd you say, Figgy?
Yeah, he got paid that big money. Mm-hmm. And I think I can't remember if he got cut after that or what, but he ended up going back to New England.
Mm-hmm.
But I know he got a big contract with the Raiders.
I mean, I guess competition, but 32 years old when the season begins, 11th season, played three games last year, but you know, he walked through New England. He played in New England, so here he is.
Yeah, and it's worth noting, right, that Nick Haley and I believe also Cole Popovich were there in New England while he was there as well. So there is a level of familiarity with, I'm assuming, what they might want to do. I say the system. I don't know actually what the system is, but maybe what they want to do.
Yeah.
There's a familiarity with that. There's a familiarity with who he is and what he does. Bastrop boy, Bastrop, Texas, is where he's from. But yeah, I
huge guy.
Yeah, 380 pounds.
380.
6'8" is what he's listed at. So yeah, man, a big dude. Obviously, you hope that big, that strong, powerful, that you know, all that power translates.
Mm-hmm.
But again, this feels like you're adding at maybe the middle or the back of the depth chart there, and it really feels like, man, the top end is a concern, man. Mm-hmm. More depth, more competition, that's sure. I think the same questions arise, and not that this was a move that was going to answer those, but the same questions arise, which is, you know, what does this ultimately do to make your starting five, your five that will be out there a majority of the time, better, and help protect CJ Stroud better and create better results offensively, both in the pass and the run.
I am interested in your point, though, just to be fair here, because I do think if you carry, you know, and they could still draft players, but you got four tackles now. I mean, this might be your choice of tackles.
And maybe
this might
it
be
is.
Your selection.
Right, maybe you do just have four tackles. That's a possibility, right? You're going into camp. You can still trim down later. And again, it's up to $3 million. That's not going to be the worst thing in the world if you have to move off of a Trent Brown. But I think that this gives them at least, and maybe I shouldn't say he is definitely a guard and when talking about Tyus Howard, but he gives you more option if you want him to be a guard. And when you go into these competitions in the offseason to see them, like if he ultimately is your best option to play guard, then you have the opportunity to do that with a understanding and a comfort that you have another tackle to go into the season having a little bit of depth there. But again, this is not the type of player that precludes you from anything that you were previously thinking about in my mind. When it comes to the draft, whether it's you were in a place where you were willing to draft a tackle or in a place to, you know, obviously go draft a guard relatively high up, do both, what have you. I feel like that plan probably is still in place. Maybe that's part and parcel of why you do it. But yeah, Trent Brown, 1 year, up to $3 million. He is a tackle. It'll be his age 32 season. And I think he just added to the room is the way that I would describe it.
This is true. 713 asks, do you think this signals Casey going for more jumbo sets on run plays, six lineman sets? I'm not necessarily saying it signals that, but we've been sort of postulating that they're going to go more New England style run game, power run first. It's absolutely 100%. That's what they're doing now. They got some big dudes at tackle. I think their blocking scheme is going to be much more in your face downhill, very, very different from what we saw last year.
Yeah, it's quite possible. Another guy that, you know, if he can give you the best of what he is, that is kind of interesting in the competition there. And this comes in on the Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line from the 402. I at least like the variety. Spin around, see what works, because that's what matters, not the names. I hear you.
Mm-hmm.
And look, there is indeed variety there. The point about the size, the athletic big dudes, is absolutely fair here. The question still arises, just like, what is the high watermark that you can get out of it? And what is the likelihood that you get to that high watermark? That still is a question here. But I think the further and further we go in the offseason, and the clearer and clearer it becomes that that's not going to be anything near an answer that we have right, you know, in this time of year. That's going to be an answer that we get closer to when the season starts, which is scary, to be completely honest.
Yeah.
But we'll figure that out at that point. At this point, at the very least, they're throwing a whole bunch of opportunities, a lot of different guys that can maybe fall in and possibly help you find the right combination.
I mean, we're going to be asking this question for a while.
Damn right.
Are they better? in any way on the offensive line, because you know they've sort of changed some of the names and places, but I don't know if how much better you're going to end up being.
Yeah. From the 713, they said at least it shows that they're not confident in Tytus Howard and that they're still searching. I don't know that that's the case, because I don't think that Trent Brown has any real impact or bearing on Tytus Howard besides the idea of maybe it gives you an opportunity to move him from being a tackle. I mean, am I wrong in this? Do you agree, disagree?
That they're gonna be what?
That because this person that texts in says that they think it shows that they're not confident in Tytus Howard, and I don't think that has any bearing on such.
I think they're spitballing right now, and they're relying on what they know, and that's an offensive line coach from New England, a coordinator that has New England roots, Nick Caserio's judgment and familiarity with these players, and some former New England players that they trust. What we're going to get, the one thing it does signal to me 100% is that Patriots power game, run the ball right at you, is what they're going to do.
Which would like people,
and that might fit in with Tytus Howard at guard.
And people are pointing to that as well. That kind of style, maybe that helps Dameon Pierce also have a resurgence and be a better version of himself.
Absolutely, might.
Quite possible. All right, let's welcome in for the D&M Auto Lease and Crosstalk, the fellas of the drive. It's Ron the Show Hughlian sitting in today. Our guy Luke Morrow, looking a lot less like a NBA official, a lot more like an NBA DJ, I think, is probably the way that I would go with it.
Mm-hmm. I'll take it. That's an upgrade.
Is it? I don't know, man. Them refs be stars in their own right, in my opinion.
I'd rather be standing on the side spinning records.
Who are the stars now? They used to be.
Who are the modern referees? Well, I mean, for
Scotty
one,
Foster. That was you, Scott Foster.
Mm-hmm. I mean, well, Scott. People know his name, Tony Brothers and such. Obviously, not for good things. What about my guy, Ref Gucci Mane? Y'all know who I'm talking about. There's the ref that looks very much like Gucci Mane when he's out there.
I know you're talking about.
love him, fellas. How's it going, man?
I'm good, man. Mm-hmm. You guys feeling good?
Yeah,
feeling great.
O-line help is what Ian Rappaport says. Mm-hmm. Is what you're getting in Trent Brown.
Yeah.
Sounds like you're excited.
Well, I mean, I'm just like, especially to whoever the previous texter is, if Trent Brown has anything to do with your highest paid offensive lineman, Tytus Howard, then I am really concerned. That just has to be a depth piece. Mm-hmm. And, hey, that's a guy that we're familiar with. We know he has nothing to do. Should have nothing to do. That's like Marcus Cannon, right? Should have nothing to do with anything in the starting lineup. Nothing to do.
Does it have something to do with the whole changing of attitudes and swarminess in the offensive line room? I mean, that's what they're going for.
It's possible.
Maybe. I just, again, I never even took him as that type of guy. Right? Like, he's been moved around all over the place. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I think it's literally just depth.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it feels like to me.
And that's at least that's what it should be.
There's more guys. There's more guys in the room at the very least. Mm-hmm. I think, again, we're still in the same place that you have been. And I'm certain that you guys will continue talking about this. So I do want to give you an opportunity.
Probably not, but I hear you.
Fair enough. So, Luke, you want to get your rocks off here? You want to say your piece?
Yeah, I mean, this might be a hot take. I don't know. I think he's better than Cam Robinson. So I prefer that addition. I mean, now, granted, he's coming off the injury. He hasn't been healthy for the majority of the last six seasons. But if healthy, I think he's the better tackle.
All right. So if you are not watching on the Mo-Kerem, if you're not watching on the Mo-Kerem Injury Law Firm live stream, Ron Hughley in the midst of
Reggie and I might have to do some overtime.
You on your own, brother. In the midst of Luke Morrow giving that scorching, scalding take, Ron had to walk. He had to physically get further away from the take.
Hold on. I got it. Hold on.
He had to physically move further away.
Or maybe I don't know who Trent Brown is, right? Let me make sure the Trent Brown I'm talking about is the same one. Patriots, Raiders.
No.
That's the one.
That Trent Brown.
That's the one, yeah.
Nah, I got to look him up.
Is there another one?
Why you think Trent Brown is better than, like, what is it? Because, look, I want to hear you out first.
I think he's more well-rounded, first off.
Like, size-wise?
Yeah, no,
he's 380,
like,
baby.
Like pass and rush, run blocking than Cam Robinson. I think, look, Pro Football Focus, I think, is flawed when it comes to offensive line rankings, but he's graded better on PFF than Cam Robinson. They had him ranked higher when healthy. The injuries are just the big concern for me. I have questions about Cam. I mean, the Jaguars got rid of him for a reason. The rumors were contract year, didn't want to be there. He kind of threw in the towel. You thought the move to Minnesota would re-energize him. And I know Sam Darnold holds the football too long, but, you know, he didn't play very well in Minnesota. He led the league in pressures allowed. He was bottom 15 last year in sacks and penalties for tackles. Cam Robinson was. I think the injury concern is the biggest issue, but I think if healthy, I think he's a better tackle than Cam Robinson.
He convinced you.
Luke, you can have questions about Cam Robinson. I'm with you on that. That don't mean Cam Robinson is worse than Trent Brown. Trent Brown, 3 starts last year.
He's always been injured. That's the big issue.
The only thing that's been holding him back here.
It's a big thing holding him back, yeah.
Yeah.
If you could guarantee me 17 games for either of them, I think I'd take 17 games of Trent Brown over 17 of Cam Robinson. I watched too much Cam Robinson last year.
I hear you.
Trying to protect Sam.
I think
Darnold.
Our work is done here.
Again.
I think our work, we've set the table nicely.
I love this
here.
This is fun.
I cannot believe you just said that. Yeah. Got 3 games to work with.
No. I'm not going off last year.
Oh, I'm sorry. The 8 games that he started the year before.
Prior to last year. Cam Robinson didn't play the full year 2 years ago either.
Wow. 101 starts at left tackle.
Yeah. Sounds like y'all about to have fun. Yeah. Today,
I didn't know. I didn't know. Yeah. I bet you, though, the people probably rolling with you, though.
They're gonna go against
your boy, but wow, man.
I do love that from the 559, they just wanted you to hear this one more time. 380, just wanted you to know how big Trent Brown is. And yes, 713, Trent Brown, not Trent Williams. That is exactly.
Yeah, that's right. I was about to say, I had to look up the Trent Brown. I thought of Well, all right.
I love the energy. The vibes are right here on a Friday. Appreciate, fellas. This was a very fun D&M Auto Leasing Crosstalk. We're done for the day.
Have a good week.
We're actually done for the week.
I got a week. 10 minutes. Yeah. I look over there.
Yeah. Enjoy the weekend. You guys, you're not going to look at them? That's crazy.
Well, I mean, this shows, right, Tyler? Luke's dead last in our our March Madness.
That ain't right.
Our company bracket here looks dead last.
I'm in second, right on Lopez's heels.
Yeah, I mean, and
don't
right give
him.
There.
Don't remind him of that. He feels too
did
good.
Did I
about
mention
it
I went 15 all right. yesterday?
You're yeah. listening to KLT AM, KLT FM, HD2 Houston, and Odyssey Sports Station. I had to stop him from saying that.
What was your one?
Nope.
I knew ultimately some kind of Aggies would disappoint me. It was the Utah State Aggies.
I had them too, man. Got their asses kicked.
If you can't tell, the drive is live.